Yes, that lion forms on the right, babe. Ha! Not that Maggie's back in town.
McMonagle here with you on this wonderful, glorious Tuesday morning. It couldn't be done. This Knicks team doesn't belong on the same floor as the Boston Celtics. Look at every time they played during the regular season. They have no chance. It took them six games to beat the lousy Pistons. And I know they haven't won anything except took game one right from the Boston Celtics, 108-105. And now, and this is my main point. We'll get to a lot of different things in the game, but I told you yesterday, I'm not saying the Knicks are now the favorites in this series, but don't you feel different? All of a sudden, all the talk about being unable to beat them, there is no way they don't belong in the series. This would be the biggest upset in the history of New York sports. I can't even enjoy winning the Pistons series because there's no way they could beat the Boston Celtics. And now it's one game. And I know I feel different. And I'm sure you feel different. And I think the Boston Celtics feel pretty different too. Because the Knicks, a team that clearly they're comfortable playing as they're up 20 points in the second quarter. As they are running away with that game. And yes, they played terribly too. A lot of this, there's always two sides of the coin. The Knicks played extremely well down the stretch of this game, not the entire game. Actually didn't play all that well during a lot of the game. But the Celtics, who are so reliant on their three, breaking an all-time record and shoot 60 threes, they missed 45 three-pointers. And when people complain about the NBA today, that could be why, because the defending champs came out with a 20-point lead and hardly did anything else but take threes the entire second half. But this New York team finds a way to come back. I mean, who thought this game wasn't over in the second quarter the way that was going? Who didn't think the second half, that third quarter, wasn't going to be the ugliest, most depressing? Let's go watch something else. Let's go watch the Yankees blow a game. Let's do anything else but watch this disastrous second half where the Knicks are going to get embarrassed yet again by the Boston Celtics. And instead, this entire team and every single one of them played a role. And we talk so much about other than Brunson. And we talk so much about I wish we had Randall, and I wish we had this one, and I wish we had that one, and if only we still had this one, and the depth, and the bench. This starting five, mainly, but this team, every single player had a role in this remarkable comeback. And watching what they did as they storm back in the second half, as you see OG Anunoby hitting countless big threes, as you see Mikal Bridges, who I can't talk about enough. I mean, you take these two back-to-back performances. I'm not kidding. Every pick they gave up was worth how he played in that overtime. And from his defensive effort to even a big corner three to the rebound going out of bounds that leads to the dunk by Anunoby. Like, Anunoby's offense, his defense, even Hart, who had a terrible game shooting the basketball, which is nothing new, but his ability to just make plays, get rebounds. I mean, if you think about it, listen to this. Now, this is what the Knicks haters are going to say. This is what the people are going to tell you, that there are still crazy mismatches and things that went terribly wrong for the Knicks. If you could imagine that the New York Knicks were to be out-rebounded in this game, to have Karl Anthony Towns, who I talk so much about needing to be that second guy offensively, be the main reason. I talked all yesterday about getting him the ball and running the offense through him at times was going to be so important and so key to this series, and something the coach was going to have to rely on. The time when they actually did it in the second quarter and allowed Karl-Anthony Towns to, he got a big time matchup favorites, and he was on the smaller defender, and they tried to work the ball down to him down low. Everything I wanted, everything we've been talking about, and it was the cause of the reason they lost the entire second quarter and were down 20 points as he could not get a shot off, as he kept getting rejected at the rim, as he missed every single shot. So they got out-rebounded and gave up way too many offensive rebounds and second chance points. 19 offensive rebounds from the Boston Celtics. Karl-Anthony Towns scores 14 points. They give up 19 offensive rebounds and get out rebound completely in the game. They miss. They shoot 54% from the free throw line. 54%. And really, that the hack of Mitch is what changed the game. The Knicks were playing a competitive first half, a competitive first quarter. They were a little sloppy with the basketball. It felt like there was a real stretch there of like four or five straight possessions. I think it started with the lazy behind the back pass from Jalen Brunson, and then there were, you know, attempts to catch a cutting Mitch Robinson, which was complete failure. A couple of bad throws out of bounds, missed dribbles. Like, there was a bunch of turnovers early in this game. They missed too many free throws. Campaign, we don't talk about the bench. Campaign, you can't come in and miss two free throws. But they're missing free throws. They're sloppy with the basketball, but they're hanging in. You've got big-time threes from OG Anunoby, who played great in this game offensively with 29 points to Ty Brunson's 29. He's hitting threes, 6 of 11 from downtown to keep them in this game early. They're getting just enough offense from Bridges. They're getting just enough to keep them afloat in that game. And then all of a sudden, the hack of Mitch, as the Boston Celtics stole what they saw from the Pistons, that changed the entire first half of this game. They were in it. They got a little sloppy with the basketball. They're missing foul shots, but the game is close. And then because of foul trouble that, you know, you get the third, I think his third foul was an offensive foul, from Karl-Anthony Towns, who could not buy a basket, who was trying. At least he didn't disappear. Like, he did call for the ball. They did work the ball to him. We did see those adjustments. It just wasn't working. And then, of course, as it's not working, the Celtics are building their lead. Then Mitchell Robinson has to come in because the third foul on Karl-Anthony Towns. And they start hacking him, and he's missing every single foul shot as he is 3 of 10 from the line. 3 of 10. And I understand that we can get all mad about that strategy and we can hate it and whatever else. I'm sorry. Mitchell Robinson has to be able to shoot better than 30% from the free throw line. And he's a liability on the floor. And you actually saw Precious Achiuwa for 5 minutes in this game because you had to put somebody else out there with Karl-Anthony Towns in foul trouble. But what you get in the second half and that run, and it starts with OG Anunoby in the third quarter, hitting all those big shots, big threes, getting to the basket, getting to the rim, and then, of course, Mr. Clutch himself with a bunch of big threes down the stretch. And as they're starting to get back into this game, watching the Celtics, and that's part of it too. I know they played poorly, right? And that's what you're going to hear. Hey, listen, you got lucky to get one. The Celtics played terribly in that game. You know, they're not going to be like that. I understand that, but watching this, and now obviously the injury to Kristaps Porzingis, or should I say the illness, rather, to Kristaps Porzingis is an issue. We'll see if he can play in game two. It certainly hurt them in this game, no doubt. But you watched it. It felt, I'm sorry, it felt as if the Knicks were taking control of the game and the Celtics had no answers. I wasn't sure we were ever going to see that. I was fairly confident that the Knicks could make a series of this. I don't know about winning it. I don't know about really putting a scare into Boston, but I thought the Knicks could be a lot more competitive than a lot of people would tell you. Even I didn't think I would see an entire half of basketball where the New York Knicks were gaining traction, getting what they want, having good possessions, making the good pass to the open man. We saw Miles McBride hit a couple big threes. Obviously, OG Anunoby, they're distributing the basketball. Karl-Anthony Towns down low, who has a tip in late in the game, has a off of a rebound, puts one back in the fourth quarter. Like, we saw the offense actually function while still having Brunson take the main shots down the stretch and hit those three consecutive three-pointers. But, like, as it was happening, they didn't know what else to do but take these ugly threes. And to miss 45 three-pointers in a playoff game and take 60 threes, and I know that's their game plan, and I know that's what they want to do, and I know that's what we're going to see in Game 2 and Game 3 and Game 4 and Game 5 if necessary. I understand that's what we're going to see from this Boston Celtics team, but they've got the Knicks on the ropes up 20. They have the Knicks in foul trouble. You've got three fouls on Hart. You've got three fouls on Karl Anthony Towns. And instead of trying to do something else, get to the basket, try and get other players in foul trouble, get to the foul line, waste some clock, you know, do something with a 20-point lead. Instead, as that third quarter starts going and OG starts turning it on, and Brunson starts turning it on, and Mikal Bridges ups up his defensive intensity, they had no answers. There was nowhere to go. There was nothing for them to do other than just hoist up threes all game long, and they weren't falling. And they got too many second chances for my liking, and that's something the Knicks are going to have to do a better job of. But it really felt like, for the entire second half, the New York Knicks had the better of play, and more than that, the Celtics had nowhere to go. They have their game plan of shooting threes, plain and simple. And as the game is slipping through their fingers, as all the momentum is changing, they had no plan B of doing anything else but continuing to play that game. And as the shots continue to clank off the back of the rim, as we see, you know, Jason Tatum 4 for 15 from three, Jaylen Brown 1 of 10, Derek White 5 of 16, 2 of 7 from Drew Holiday, 1 of 5 from Al Horford. Like, the shots just kept coming up. They kept missing them, and they had no real plan to stop what the Knicks were presenting. That's the best part of it, because we could talk about how poorly the Celtics played, and they didn't play great. And we could talk about some of the mismatches and some of the things, the rebounding, the missed free throws, the turnovers, but ultimately, as poorly as the Celtics played, it was more than that. There was a large portion of this game where the Celtics didn't know what to do. And obviously they tied up late, and me and Fleegs were talking about this right before I came on. What I love, you know, the overtime, and obviously Bridges in the overtime. I mean, what can you say? He gets the rebound, instead of going out of bounds, turns that into the dunk and the N1 from OG. He hits a big corner three. When still, I mean, listen, his offensive game is still not great. He scores 8 points in this game. He's 3 of 13, 2 of 5 from three-point land. One of them is that one in overtime. He takes zero foul shots. I still don't, you know, it's not about him playing the best of his ability, but you can see in the biggest moments, his defensive intensity has completely ratcheted up from where we saw it during the regular season. Because that was a lot of our problem with him. It wasn't just that his offense wasn't there, the hitch at the top of his shot, the inability to hit three-pointers. It was that, where is this great defensive wing, two-way player we hear so much about, especially against the Boston Celtics as they hit all these threes, as he was unable to fight through screens. And listen, he scored 8 points in this game, but he was still so impactful. Much like Hart, you know, could score 14 points in this game, which is fairly good for him. 1 of 5 from three, you know, he can't shoot right now. But you could feel Hart's impact. Right, you heard Reggie Miller talking about it. You could hear, you know, loose balls, rebounds, tips, defense, all of it. That Mikal Bridges is starting to give me that feel where he is impacting the game in a major way without having to score. But he gets that unbelievable rebound, he hits the big three, and then obviously the final play of the game, he is all over that pass. You cannot play that any better, that final steal. As the ball is hitting his hands, he's ripping it out. That was an incredible defensive play. He does that without even, like, he's not facing the pass. He's facing the man, waiting for the reaction. Once the ball is in his hands, he's all over it. That was an incredible overtime performance. And the idea that Brunson misses that shot, the idea they hold the two missed shots at the end of the game from the Celtics, they have that final possession with 5 seconds left. I actually thought, and here's, I'll throw praises to the coach too. I kill him on the side out of bounds play. I'm screaming at the TV that I don't love the idea that he's inbounding the ball. It's only 5 seconds. Like, I have no problem with the guy. You want to take the shot inbound in the basketball. It's a completely normal strategy. I was nervous they wouldn't be able to get it back to him with only 5 seconds, especially if they play tough D and you're forced to throw it on the other side of the half court line. I didn't love it, but it actually ended up being a brilliant play. They get the back cut to the rim. He gets the good look. It's just off the rim, just off the basket. I thought it was going down. I don't know how it didn't go in, but you know what? It actually, to me, it makes me feel better about this Knick win, because it wasn't just the fourth quarter run. It wasn't just with the Celtics on their heels. It wasn't just as Brunson and OG was playing this game, hitting big shots, and the Celtics were failing. They had their moment. Okay, we got a couple minutes. We could take back control of this game. How many times have you seen the team that makes the run, that makes that big run at the end of the game to get back into the game, get into overtime, and see it all collapse on them? That is a natural kind, especially off that miss. Brunson misses after hitting the big shot against Detroit. He gets that excellent look. It's not even like he got some sort of terrible turnaround look and missed it. They drew up a good side out of bounds play. They get what they want, which bravo to Tibbs. He gets the cut back to the basket. He gets the good look at the rim. He gets the layup over a defender, but still, that's a basket that he hits. That's a very high percentage shot. For Brunson, it goes off the rim, and I don't know. I know what you're thinking. I know what I'm thinking. I already spoke to Fleegs about it. We're all thinking, that's it. That's the game. The Celtics are too damn good. They're going to hit some threes. I am not very confident going into overtime, despite how the fourth quarter and really the entire second half went. I'm not. And to still go and continue the dominance and to still see the Celtics have no real offensive game plan but attempt to get good looks from three. And to watch Bridges play the way he played, even Karl Anthony Towns, who had a miserable game, I don't want to hear the disappeared or soft, because I don't think he was soft in this game. He just couldn't finish around the rim. He tried. He got into foul trouble early. He's on the bench for a lot of it. It's hard to kill him necessarily. He had a terrible game, but it's hard to kill him for it. It wasn't one of those games where he's nowhere to be found. He was just unsuccessful getting to the rim. No fouls called against him. He had a couple shots blocked. He missed some decent looks. But even at the end of the game, that's an enormous putback in overtime. Everybody had their fingerprints on this remarkable win. And it's one of the better. Now look, it's game one. They have to win three more. But they've already taken a split. They own home court advantage in the series now. And furthermore, I don't know what's going to happen in game two. We'll see. And we'll see if Porzingis is healthy. But as poorly as they played, and as much as the Celtics are champions and all of that, you can't tell me there was a moment in this game in the first half where I felt it, you felt it, the Knicks felt it, the Celtics felt it, that this is how these games go. That the Celtics are too good. That this game is ballooned to a 20-point lead. It's going to get worse in the third quarter. And we are going to leave thinking that this is going to go this way every game and they'll be lucky to get one. And instead, what happened and the way the game shifted in that third quarter, starting with really OG Anunoby and how he played in that third quarter. I'm sorry. I think this is an enormous win. I think it completely, we have a series. This completely changes things. I think it puts it in the Celtics' head. I mean, they're champions. I'm not saying they're going to tuck their tail between their legs, and I'm sure. Listen, I think game two is going to be a very difficult game to win now for the Knicks. A desperate Celtic team at home, defending champs, it's a tough game to go win. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure the Celtics are going to be in a good position to win this basketball game in game two, but this game puts that little bit of no matter where we are, no matter how it's going, this Knicks team isn't going anywhere. This is a statement. This is a statement from the New York Knicks. We're here. We're here. I can hear Big Zoo in my head right now. We're here. This is a series. It's not a pushover. What happened in the regular season means absolutely nothing. We just came into this building and slapped you around the entire second half, made you look like a one-trick pony, that you are strictly a make-or-miss team, and you missed, and we beat you, and then we even had an overtime where you could have gathered yourself, and instead, it was the same terrible offensive game plan, and the Knicks dominated They played better defense. They hit the shots. Bridges was the better, Brunson was the better closer than Tatum. And the Knicks walked into that building without even playing that well and took game one from the Boston Celtics. This is one of the better, I mean, this is the best Knicks win in 25 years. This is a series no one expects them to win. This is a series nobody thinks they can stand a chance in. This is a building nobody expected them to get a win. And they came out in game one and made the Pistons look bad. Made the Celtics look bad. Made the Celtics look bad. And they got it from everywhere. What a performance from the New York Knicks. What a victory. And we are in for a series, my friends, as we get ready for game two Wednesday night, 7 p.m. out in Boston, where the Knicks would look to take a stranglehold on the series and head back to New York up 2-0. And we would have all thought that to have been crazy to say, but it's not. And especially if Porzingis is hurt and we'll get still sick and can't go in game two. We'll get to it all. We'll get to the different plays in this game. We'll get to the different swings in this game. But ultimately, this Knicks team found a way to do something nobody thought they could do. And we are looking at a long, tough series.